Just a heads up that this trailer contains themes of gender-based violence. If you're not up for listening to that right now, come back later.
I just didn't care what the judge said. I just needed the judge to tell me what it was I had to do to get rid of this man out of my life.
There's still an aspect where you think, I know this is inappropriate, I know it's sexual harassment, it makes me feel uncomfortable, but he's laughing.
Bottom line is family violence won't go away on its own. It will not go away until we train people out of it.
Are you wondering, well, how do we do that? Train people out of it? Like, what does that kind of activism, advocacy, allyship look like? I suspect you feel it's something more than marching down streets and holding signs, that it's bigger than advocating to policymakers or creating petitions and campaigns, and that it goes beyond boycotting and making grand public statements. Is activism something we can do by ourselves? Or in private conversations, or by sharing something with someone who needs it. Does that make it feel easier? Or does that make you wonder how often you're doing that kind of activism well? What are the chances that you're doing it right now?
So most women have said to me, it was when a bystander of some kind, even if it was my parents, my friends, someone on the street pointed it out and said, that's not okay, or are you okay, or are things happening at home that are not making you happy?
When I first kind of started vocalising, I had a whole bunch of friends who just like, oh, you've changed, like, I was like, why? Because I don't tell misogynistic jokes at parties anymore. Like, and that's really hard.
I hadn't told my family for 17 years, and my family's still recovering from that.
What if listening to and sharing stories like these is part of the action? Hey, I'm Penny Terry and this is Rule of Thumb. It's a podcast for the Women's Legal Service Tasmania that we first began producing in 2020, and it's packed with real-life accounts from lawyers, specialists and those who've lived it. We cover what women face in family violence, separation and sexual harassment. And I'm wondering if better understanding gender violence in all its forms could be one of the most powerful actions we can take. Because it's really hard to solve a problem that we don't properly understand.
We don't hear the stories of people who've been through court. And for a long time, we didn't hear the stories of people who are, you know, have survived family violence either. And I think it's really important that we get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Obviously, sexual harassment is unlawful. And that's one of the biggest things that people don't understand. Often they think that racism, sexism, ageism, sexual harassment are things that, you know, are pretty nasty and maybe you shouldn't do it, as opposed to actually thinking the minute that you do it, you've broken the law.
The financial abuse, there are very low numbers for prosecution. I think that there is a reluctance within the profession to identify this as a problem, to ask about it when people present to see their lawyer, to make a report to police.
Why is that?
It doesn't fit the definition of what we have understood family violence to be.
Which is?
Which is that stuff that you can see from the outside, the physical assault, the damage to property, the things that leave a mark.
So what does gender violence look like from the inside? That's the view we get on Rule of Thumb. In Season 1, we get the opportunity to learn about family law and the often rugged path through separation, which is usually something we don't hear about until we're on it.
When the magistrate was getting quite animated about why no one knew where this child was, I started to break down, because you're sitting there and you're thinking, this is my family. This is not something I'm seeing on television. This is very real for me. And my lawyer turned and said to me, best to keep the emotion out of it. It doesn't help.
I would say there is gender inequity in the practice and the application of the law, not necessarily in the letter of the law. I just haven't caught up culturally. So when you're going into something like the family court system, men and women are not playing by the same rules, and women are going in trying to negotiate, they're trying to agree, the men are trying to be adversarial, and the legal system lends itself to being adversarial if one partner wants to take it down that path.
Yeah, we often do have to reassure people that by talking to a lawyer, you're not committing to anything. You're just getting some advice.
Not being in control of your money, meaning that you have no idea of where the money comes from or how to deal with it. For example, I had a client last year. She was around 60 and she had always run the house on a small amount of money that her husband would give her, and that was about $200 a fortnight. She had 3 children. She came to see me and was absolutely terrified, just shaking, and kept on saying, you know, you're not going to ring him, you're not going to ring him, you're not going to ring him. So what happened was that she took a credit card out because she just couldn't balance the household budget, and she couldn't pay the credit card back. So I negotiated with the creditor and we got the whole amount waived.
In season 2, we get a guide to understanding the many different forms of family violence, what to notice, what to say, and what to do that will make a difference.
So social withdrawal is a really big sign. So someone might be in a relationship that's new and they're starting to limit their contact with friends and family.
Well, the person might be really outgoing and really vivacious and quite out there and extroversion, and then all of a sudden you don't see them at anything.
There have been cases where mechanics have found tracking devices on people's cars.
There is a threat from the other party to say, well, I'm going to get you deported. So some of them will stay in the relationship because they don't know where to go. And that's where I come in. I'd like to help you until you get your permanent visa at least. That way, no matter what happened after you return, you no longer have to have that threat.
This control would very quickly lead to me having to wear what he told me to wear. He preferred women to dress very provocatively, high heels, stockings, short dresses, plunging necklines, the full gamut. And I'd wear them because I was afraid of the consequences. And then when we go out at night, obviously I'd receive stares from other males. And he'd abuse me. He'd drag me home saying, I'm never taking you out again. You're a slut, a flirt, as if it was my fault and my intention.
Please don't hold back from saying something to someone who's being targeted, because you will change their life even if they don't act like they're grateful or they're thankful or that they agree with you.
Yeah. And then in season 3, we move the conversation to sexual harassment, unpacking the problems and the solutions and learning that, yes, it's really illegal.
Yeah, I love that term, really illegal. I'm going to start using that.
When you know that it's a known problem and nothing's changed, it makes you question whether it, you know, anyone is going to view this as an issue.
The lunchtime banter doesn't necessarily allow for these sorts of conversations without you being a little bit of a weirdo or an outcast.
Well, I was just mortified. Everybody was laughing because he was he's a well-loved and well-known person in the industry.
And he said, if we share a bed, then I get to pay a discounted rate because we don't have 2 beds to clean. Like, I was seriously considering that I was going to get raped that night, and I didn't think anything of it.
There is a severe lack of courage in all of our leaders today, right? From government levels, corporate levels, public society levels. And you're right, we bucket it as an assumption, but that is an inaccurate observation these days.
They just want it to stop. They don't want to cause any trouble.
The report's called Chuck Her on a Lie Detector, and what they found was that something like 47% of Australians believe that people make false allegations about this stuff.
That fear of being whether or not you're going to be believed, and I think reaching out for any sort of support, like be it by police or, you know, through your HR or anything, that initial validation of your experience can be so important and so pivotal for the outcome.
Okay, so by now you're probably thinking, well, this series sounds really heavy. And yeah, of course, parts are. But I hope you'll feel a little bit lighter after listening, because the weight of not knowing what you can do will lift.
Often people say at the end of the first appointment, I feel so much better now I've told somebody.
I've had to learn to put me first, say no, and mean no.
If we were all doing the same thing, I reckon we would have such a good ability to stop this in its tracks.
What's a practical action I can make? Do you want a tea or water? Do you need a liquid? Let me do that little thing.
There are legal duties on organisations to get out there and be proactive and prevent harassment. And at an organisational level, making sure that you've got policies, making sure that you've got procedures, making sure that you've got training, making sure that you've got people in the organisation, including managers, including staff, who are accountable for health and safety, for discrimination. I think those are the most important things that can be done.
So sometimes a really simple phrase is, oh, I don't know about that. I reckon we're better than that. So if you're having a conversation with someone and maybe choose an appropriately private time, you know, I don't know about what you said earlier. I reckon we're better than that. It means that you acknowledge that you've been part of that conversation and you're part of this culture that exists, whether we like it or not. But it also provides an opportunity for the person to respond without hopefully getting too defensive and go, you know what, fair call. But it was just private or something, they might say. And you go, yeah, but I reckon we're better than that.
It may sound a little trite, but I have to say the one thing is that everybody could be kinder to each other.
Very simple.
Very simple.
Or is it?
Well, firstly, you have to ask each other, what is kindness? And usually kindness will always come with it a sense of someone's respecting me, they're including me, they're being tolerant of me, they're just doing everything that we say that if you did that, you wouldn't discriminate against somebody or sexually harass them in the first place.
Easy.
Too easy.
Seeing them on the day that you settle a matter or you close a matter compared to the first day that you see them, they just walk differently.
They got a more powerful walk.
Yeah, definitely.
So grab out your phone, go to your favourite podcast app, search for Rule of Thumb and hit follow. Listen to one season, listen to them all, and then hit share and help us get more ears listening to these stories and strategies from people who know. It's a powerful resource full of the sorts of stories that can be hard to hear, but that you'll never want to forget. Rule of Thumb. Listen, learn, act.